bill discussing Bishani.
I'm sorry, to the bill discussing Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva. So just let's pick up where we were, and then I want to talk a little about the Rambam, and then Masir Grushaso, and then let's start talking about Chutz. That's the goal. I'm not going to get all that in today, unfortunately. Okay. So, I think we're in the middle of discussing first Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva. Can't discuss one without the other. So, let's pick up on where we were. So with respect to Beis Hillel, Afilu Hikdicha Tavshilo, what we were suggesting was, again, these three, both Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel, there are basically three ways to understand the grounds for divorce. They overlap each other a little bit. And both of these, whether or not you know, which one you think is Beis Hillel, which one Rabbi Akiva, if you think they're different, that's certainly open as well. So what we've said is that according to Beis Hillel, the view of the Sefer HaChinuch is like the Pashtus, and that is that, this is simply a matter of will, he has a choice, the condition was entered into freely. It's, again, the Chinuch a little bit acutely emphasizes, his position in the marriage, and therefore it being his act of his choice and his volition. But either way, it's perfectly clear for the Chinuch that Hikdicha Tavshilo is not something, that is an objective difficulty in the marriage. This is also the view, Bepashtus, of other Rishonim too. Just an example, I'm not sure if I gave it to you or not, the Sefer Chassidim or not. Sefer Chassidim speaks a kind of, in general, has kind of a list of things, kind of like Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzer Hara. Kol HaChafetz Lasos Avero, where Din Hayal Haspik B'yadam Avero, Salam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'amtsi L'Rasha Kol Tavoso, Yim Samarba Mamzerus, right, V'yishatnu B'hem Atznuim, a very strange, interesting Sefer Chassidim, where basically he's trying to balance standards and the aspiration of living, a proper life as an Oved Hashem, proper levels of Kedusha, at the same time with kind of Dibra Torah Keneged, Yetzer Hara, like acknowledging human frailty and weakness and, trying to find, resolutions for that aspect, that dimension, of human behavior. So one of the things he says is Hakosav Matir Lasez Get Afilu Ikdicha Tavshilo O Matza Na'a Mimena Ve'osid Litenes Adin Lefisha Chataba. And then he goes on from there. Yifas Toar Tirano Keneged Yetzer Hara, and so on. So, akasef hitir adam liishto b'chol zman shechafetz, sheyachol ihondos, pen yitin enav b'acheres, meaning a balance between, as I say, this concession to human, the baser side, I guess, of human nature, with the goal and the aspiration of Kedusha. So, within that, the description of Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, he doesn't see them as being, distinct. Is part of that, as part of that presentation, and as we already noted, the Pnei Yehoshua sees this in contrast to Rabbi Akiva, even a little bit, sees Hikdicha Tavshilo as a passing, storm, like a moment of anger. so again, there's a lot of support for the simple pshat. Sometimes the simple pshat could be the right pshat. That Hikdicha Tavshilo, is not anything more untoward. It's not anything no disturbing behavior at all. Meaning the woman is basically completely the victim in this kind of whim. Nonetheless, either because of the volitional nature of Kiddushin, or as I've said, as an investment, a lesser of two evils. So that people don't feel trapped, and that doesn't engender, greater difficulty. I'll tweet some of these formulations inside if I can tomorrow. We have a sheer lunch tomorrow, right? Where's Josh? Josh is you know, overseeing. They say the menu is going to be spectacular. No. But to thank him in advance. What time is that? 12 o'clock? Okay. So, so the, again, you know, the whim could be because, you know, this is simply a consequence of being, you know, a willful relationship to begin with. Or it could be, as I said, the lesser of two evils, meaning people should know when they're in a relationship that they have choices. Otherwise, you know, small things fester in people's imaginations or their, you know, pessimistic, you know, self-evaluation. In some cases, you know, sometimes in epic proportions, you know, they you know, imagine, you know, that they're trapped and that engenders its own, has its own momentum in terms of, like, poisoning any kind of toxic environment. All these things are psychologically true for people. Or, as we suggested, and that is, you know, this kind of, you know, while it starts as a whim, the, you know, very idea, you know, that somebody in a whim wants to abandon what should be a very fundamental commitment, you know, and a perspective on Kedusha, you know, that flaw already, you know, rises, you know, to grounds for divorce. Either, whatever the explanation is, the point is that according to these perspectives, Hikdicha Tachiro means what we think it is. On the other hand, the other perspective, just to sum up, is that of what we discussed, the Me'iri, and the Tur, and the Lavush, and maybe the Pirush Mishnayos of the Rambam, who contrasts Rabbi Akiva, and seems to like be completely dismissive of Rabbi Akiva as something, you know, that is, you know, frivolous and physical, and also, this is the only part I'm not sure about in terms of the contrast, but, you know, there's options, you know, polygamy option, and therefore, like, you know, he's very, you know, it's Ke'ilu, it's not even a real Shita, so Doche, Dasar, it's very interesting, you know, very rare, you know, that the Rambam is, you know, going to weigh in. I mean, there's a Machlokas HaTanaim, so, you know, however you paskin, the Rambam says he paskins like Beis Hillel, but he's dismissive of Rabbi Akiva. It's very, almost like offended, you know, by the position, you know, of Rabbi Akiva. We'll get back to that in a second. But the implication is that, you know, he's not offended by Hikdicha Tavshilo. So is that because, you know, there's no alternative there? He can't, you know, if it's Matza Isha Na Himena, so, you know, he can marry more than one wife. But he doesn't have an outlet if he's just, you know, so petty or crazy or whatever it is. But, you know, so just it is, the reality is what it is. Is that the idea? Either way, it doesn't sound like, you know, the Pnei Yeshua's take on Hikdicha Tavshilo, you know, which is more like this is a passing storm. So if it's a passing storm, so, you know, go, you know, kind of the Get Mekushar, you know, route. Sounds in the Rambam like, you know, there is something more serious about this. Either way, for the Me'iri, who also quotes the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, and of course is tremendously influenced by the Rambam in general, and, you know, it's right after pretty much he quotes the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, interesting, that he has the perspective that this is, you know, about a breakdown in the, you know, interpersonal relationship between them, that expresses itself not in pritzus or, you know, violations of tznius, but, you know, where, as I say, the, you know, compatibility or the relationship and the mutual affection and respect, you know, is deeply lacking. So that's already, it's not Beis Shammai by a long shot, but it's also not, you know, trivial and frivolous. And again, the Tur and the Lavush speak about Pshia. I mentioned the Gemara in Brachos, Yudayin Amid Beis, you know, Ben Makdiach Tavshilo Barabim. So this idea that, you know, the phrase isn't just, you know, about stew, not the person, but like the meat, right? But, I should say stewart that time. but is really, a way, like a, a nice language to imply that, there are, are like serious, flaws, again, in the person and, in the personality or mood or whatever it is. So these are all these kind of issues. And then, of course, the question of whether there's ever a mitzvah lagarsha for these reasons. Like, would it ever be a mitzvah lagarsha? Because once you take the view, in other words, of either, that this is something more substantive about the relationship, or that still, in the end of the day, if this is how the person, feels, that there's an absence of kedusha, then could that rise to the level of mitzvah lagarsha, the Lecha Mishnah that we saw in Perek Yud Halacha Chafbeis, and the discussion in the Mishnah Melech, Mid Beis Shammai Nishma LeBeis Hillel, Mid Beis Hillel Nishma LeBeis Shammai, about whether this is an Eitzah or a Din, the idea that, whatever it is for one, it is for the other. Again, all things that you could certainly argue about, I think I'm very comfortable making the distinction in a qualitative way. But these are all kind of interesting issues. The Pnei Yehoshua has a comment regarding Tosis on Tzadi on the base, where he says, yeah, it seems like even Beis Hillel recognize that there's a mitzvah in Davar Shebe'erva, right? In other words, it's not that Beis Shammai, it's not that Beis Hillel doesn't recognize the category of Beis Shammai, even with, as a, qualitatively different grounds for divorce. This Beis Hillel is saying that there, you can also divorce otherwise, but the obligation to divorce would only be the Davar Shebe'erva. That's a little bit different than the mentality of, mid Beis Shammai, nishma lebeis Hillel, in actual l'kdicha, tavshilo, and so on. Anyway, that's as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, and there's more to say, but that's pretty much, fine. As far as Rabbi Akiva, the same question arises, and then the only question is whether to be mechalek, and in which case, which direction, and this we find. So we find people who say Rabbi Akiva is Beis Hillel, basically. It's just a perush on Beis Hillel, or it goes further than Beis Hillel. Is it more mekel? Is it equal? Is it less? That we certainly find. The Sefer Chassidim that I just mentioned in the Poskim and Shulchan Aruch, which I still may want to look at very quickly, in Siman Kuf Yud Tes, the Pri Chadash, says Beis Hillel is just, a perush of, Rabbi Akiva is a perush of Beis Hillel. So that's certainly the case, possible. It could be that it's, Gara even, mi Beis Hillel, and that is the line, that's the line in Tosas and Sota. I don't know if I gave you this to look at or not, but I think I mentioned the Yerushalmi in Sota. It's very parallel. There's some parallels in Yerushalmi and Sota, and the Yerushalmi, here in Gittin. But particularly the relationship, this is a very important issue, the relationship between Kinui and grounds for divorce. There's a debate in the Gemara, in the beginning of Sota, where you would expect it would be. I guess Sota didn't start backwards like Gittin did. So this is the debate in the beginning of Masachet Sota, whether or not kinui, being the kanes ishto, is that a mitzvah, is that a chiyuv, is that a rishus, right? Or maybe it's even frowned upon, maybe it's even a kind of an iser, but if you do it, you do it. Like, what is our attitude towards the process of kinui, right? Which is a fascinating question. So, the Gemara records different views on this issue. And on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph in Sota, the Gemara records this as a debate between Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Right? So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Ishmael, it's a Rishus. Right? That's the Gemara here. One second. Tinu Nisra. Da, 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 da. Yeah. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, Eino de Mekane Ishton Ke Nichsa Baruach. This is all part of his perspective, that it's a Rishus. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Amar Chova. Right. So if a person has these kind of suspicions or whatever, he's just, you know, concerned about all this. Is this a mitzvah? Is this a reshus? Is it an iser? So the Yerushalmi, in the beginning of Sota, says something actually very interesting. The Yerushalmi seems to be tole the question whether or not kinui is a chova or reshus with the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. In a way, that Yerushalmi is reminiscent of the other Yerushalmi that we saw. Right? We saw two discussions or three discussions, you know, of the Yerushalmi, you know, in the end of Gittin. Right? One, you know, the critical one about Matzah Grushaso. How did Beis Shammai square with Matzah Grushaso? That's the most fascinating one. Then a discussion about the Hekef, let's say, of you know, Beis Shammai's halacha. What do we say about Maisa Kiyur, which is short of Davar Shebe'erva? I think I mentioned that you have a parallel discussion in the Yerushalmi and Sota. That's the Yerushalmi that I'm about to discuss in a second. Right? And then you had the third Yerushalmi, and that's a Yerushalmi that discusses whether or not an Isha Nida, you know, it's permissible or not for her to be, you know, pokeses and kocheles, you know, makeup, I guess you would call it, meaning to beautify herself, be made nidasa, or not. So very interesting, we'll get to that in just a second. Anyway, as we noted, the Gemara in Shabbos, on Samach Dalet Amud Beis, the Bavli in Shabbos, on Samach Dalet Amud Beis, also records the machlokas about, you know, this Kenim and Rabbi Akiva, you know, regarding this question of Kocheles. But the Yerushalmi, we'll get back to it in a second, just a little bit more, but Yerushalmi in Gittin, when it quotes this you know, argument between Rabbi Akiva and the Skenim, is tola it in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you know, of the last Mishnah in Gittin. So by the same token, the Yerushalmi, I'm just suggesting there might be a pattern, the Yerushalmi in Sota suggests that whether or not kinui is a mitzvah or kinui is a reshus, that depends on Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And the pashtus is that what they mean by that is that according to Beis Shammai, that you have such strict, you know, rules in terms of what constitutes grounds for divorce. So according to, you know, according to that, you know, basically you have no choice if, you know, it's not like, oh, you're unhappy or you're, you know, you're lacking faith in the fidelity, you know, of the wife, you know, and therefore, so if you want to, you can divorce, especially if she's doing things, you know, that are problematic, right? Only if you actually have, you know, edus, you know, gemura, you know, that you can proceed. And therefore, since you're, otherwise your hands are tied, says Yerushalmi, therefore, according to Beis Shammai, you know, kinui would be a chiyuv. It would be important to be mevarech. Whereas, you know, according to Beis Hillel, afilu kicha tavshilo, so there's always the option of divorce. So therefore, whether you want to engage in the process of kinui, right, or you want to decide to divorce, that's an option. Right, that's Rishus. That's the Rishalmi's that's Rishalmi's Ha'ara. So why am I telling you that now? So the Tosis in Sota is troubled in light of that about the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Right? Because Rabbi Akiva and Av Gimel in Sota thinks is a Chiyuv Kinui. Right? And according to the Rishalmi's Taliya, that would be more like Beis Shammai than Beis Hillel. So that's the way that Tosis characterizes it. If I can find the line here, the long Tosis, but towards the middle, Tosis asks this question, that question. They answer it. One second. So it's Avokasha mi Yerushalmi. It's about, I don't know, about two-fifths of the way down, I would say. more than a third, but closer between a third and two-fifths of the way down the Tosas, of a Kashim Yerushalmi, to Rabbi Yeshua Amar Hasam Rishus, Umefarish Taima Asya, to Rabbi Yeshua Kebeis Hillel, Rabbi Yeshua, who says it's a Rishus, holds like they say, well, to be still Amar Filik Dicha Tavshilo, Lufum Chain, who Amar Rishus, Rotza Lakane Yakane, Rotza Lagarish Yagarish. Okay, that part is straight in the Yerushalmi. Then comes Tosas, says Ha. The Ha, Rabbi Akiva, who in the Bavli says it's a Chiyuv, right? Mekel, Hasam, Tzvei, Mi Beis Hillel. The Amar Hasam, Afila Matza, Isha, Na, Himena, Megarsha. Vafilahachi Omar Chova. Right? So that is. So the question is based on an assumption, and the assumption, you know, is accompanied by a formulation, namely that Rabbi Akiva is even more Mekel than Beis Hillel. Right? So the question is that really true? You know, and is that true on all levels? So, for example, the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos thinks it's true. That's why he's even, you know, more dismissive. And so on. Other people may think that it's like equal, you know. As a Gdicha Tav, what's more frivolous, a Gdicha Tav Shilo or Matza Isha Na Himena? Per se, right? And, you know, we'll see in a moment, if we reinterpret what those words mean, you know, just like we suggested another interpretation for Gdicha Tav Shilo, which is more fundamental, more objective about the toxic relationship, not just a whim, right? So certainly that wouldn't necessarily be true. But especially if you hold like the Pnei Yehoshua, which is like, you know, forget about indicting or being critical or what it reflects, you know, about the Baal. Are two different issues here. Like, one is, are these objectively stronger or weaker or equal, you know, from a you know, frivolity, you know, and, you know, trivializing, you know, are these, you know, what is the relationship between them? That's one question. But there's a second question, right? And that is, you know, forget about where this comes from for the moment, right? Just about the reality itself, right? So again, the Pnei Yehoshua's, you know, very strong, you know, comment was, you know, this might not be admirable at all, it might be despicable, but in the end of the day, you know, number one, there's something, you know, he's an onus at this point, right? And number two, you know, whatever the cause, at this point, she's a grusha slave. And this is, and number three, or this is all overlapping, you know, this is a, you know, long-term problem. This isn't something that is, you know, just going to be fleeting. Ikdicha tafshilo is a flash of anger. You know, this is a change, you know, in direction in terms of his heart. You know, as much as we think it's despicable that, you know, that he allowed this to happen, or what his criteria of you know, heart, you know, following, you know, is all about, etc. So in the end of the day, like, is it really true, you know, what the, you know, what the Bali Tosas are saying here? So the, actually I found over Shabbos, I was looking for somebody to say this. I was successful, actually. In the Maram Shik, the, he wrote like a Sefer Mitzvot, I've quoted it in the past. You know, he has like, just like the Minchas Chinuch has, you know, comments on the Mitzvot. So, Maram Shik, you know, post Pnei Yehoshua, post Minchas Chinuch, but he has some interesting comments. So he quotes this Tosas, and he just says, you know, even Rabbi Akiva will probably agree that Matza Isha Noah Himena, you know, is despicable. But that's not, you know, the point. The point is that sof-sof, it creates, you know, a certain new metzius, right? It creates a reality. And that reality is something that has its own life, its own momentum, and you have to deal with that. So he says, Rabbi Akiva will agree, you know, that this isn't proper. The only thing is, he's saying, you know, it's for the, if there's going to be, the way he formulates, I think, if there's going to be hatred, you know, rather than affection in this marriage, then it's in everybody's best interest, even hers, even if she is objecting, it's still in her best interest. You know, objectively, it's in the best interest to end this, you know, to end this relationship. He said, but that's not necessarily true for Beis Hillel. And therefore, it's possible, you know, Matzah Isha Na Hemena, like, is, reflects a certain, you know, standard. But that's not incompatible with a Chiyu Lakani. Because even Rabbi Akiva will tell you, you shouldn't be divorcing for no reason. The Ram Shik was, in the same piece, quotes some of the other issues in the Pnei Yeshua. So he doesn't quote it in this context, but clearly he's influenced by that. But let me just read the line. V'ani kasavti b'makom acher. This is, by the way, in Parshas Ki Teitzei, mitzvah tof kufayin tes. So he says, V'ani kasavti b'makom acher mitzad shenira zeze bevadai begida gedola. He's talking about Rabbi Akiva's view. Rabbi Akiva also thinks that Matzah Isha Noah Hemena is a begida. Of course, that's Pasha. Is a begida gedola. Mishum shematzah Noah Hemena yikari seh. This is the language is even very strong. The kasha da Torah yatir zos. Hu afila ba'ama ivriya. The whole formulation is interesting. Afila ba'ama ivriya ksiv bivigdova. Right? Lo yimsha l'machra l'ishacher. I mean, there's a certain, of course, a tov, a certain respect, even for Nama Ivriya, never mind for Ishto. Yamarti Rabbi Akiva bevadai sfirulai deze begida, strong words, rakdai deze yeh machlokas beneihem, shu rotzo likachat haris, ubevadai mutav lihigarish, yimkein bevadai afilu shalomi daito nami yuchalagarsha, da Torah yarda lesov daito. Umimela kushas atosis nami lokasha. The vaday ze begida biyasur, avlim kina la, sav Rabbi Akiva shehi chova. The bevaday kai gavne mutav shiitein mayim amarin viyavara davar. I mean, it's not like Rabbi Akiva thinks, you know, that the environment of the ishus, you know, is irrelevant, right? So I think that's actually a very, again, you know, it's very much in keeping, you know, with what the Pnei Yeshua, you know, used to answer, you know, the Rajba's question about the Nida case, as we discussed before, right? That was the Rajba's question. How come, you know, the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Akiva, who says that Isha, Kocheles and Pokeses and, you know, Shema, Tizgana, Albala, you know, etc., you know, V'Garshena, you know, why does it say that he's Lishitaso Beis Hillel and not say that he's Lishitaso of himself? Right. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua says, and that is that, you know, that because Matzah Isha Na Hemena may be more, in some respects, may be more despicable, right? But it's also a more thorny and serious problem. So the point is that, like, you know, the inability to be pokesis the kocheles, you know, that might be, that's a short-term thing, says the Pnei Yeshua. That's not a long-term thing. So, you know, what does Rabbi Akiva hold about Beis Hillel? So that's what Yerushalmi is saying. It's the Beis Hillel part of Rabbi Akiva, not the added. So these are, you know, the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos and these views, you know, are basically polar opposites. Namely, which of the two, you know, is a more serious consideration? But having said that, just like, you know, Hikdicha Tavshilo and the Meiri and the Lavush and the Tur and the Gemara and Brachos, just like they present the option of, you know, maybe reformulating what we mean by this, So too, you know, matza isha na hemena, there is a possibility of understanding, not like the Rambam, and implicitly, you know, some of these other perushim, which is that na means physical beauty. Rambam says explicitly that means noi, it means you know, beauty, meaning, you know, physical beauty. But and this is something that Yonathan brought to my attention, but it was on my list also, to be honest. And that's the Gemara in Shabbos and other you know, Mamare Chazal, where the word noi or na'e, you know, is used either generally, but here in the context of Ishus, in terms not of physical beauty, but in terms of midos, tovos, and you know, dvarim shebikdusha. What's the Gemara in Shabbos? Kaf Amud Beis. Yeah, Ezehu Ashir. So of course that's from Rabbi Akiva, right? So the idea of na'e b'maisim, referring to, you know, commitment, you know, midos, etc., rather than simply, you know, physical beauty, which is certainly the way. Again, that Rambam Kirshmashais and others take it. That, of course, puts the whole thing, you know, on a different, you know, on a different level. The Gemara says in Yavamos and Samach Gimel Day, you still have to run through some of these Gemaras very quickly. You know that there's a mitzvah legareish isha ra'a. What's the line there? And you know, we discussed it a little bit. And ra'a also means, do I have it? Ra'a b'dei oseha? Where's that line? Is that Samach Gimel Beis? One second. And of course, the Rambam codifies this and puts it, you know, together with our Gemara. We'll discuss Rambam in a minute. Not Samach Gimel? I thought it was Samach Gimel. Oh, okay. It helps if you're in the right sechta, no? Like, Suvis is good, but not for now. Yeah. Look, it's here. Isha ra mitzvah lagarsha. Rava, same Rava. Isha ra mitzvah lagarsha. Right? Yitziv, garesh leitz v'yotzei madon, yishvos din v'kalon. V'amar Rava, isha ra, uksivasa beruba, tzorasa betzida, and so on. Oh. So this whole Gemara is what does Isha Ra'a mean? I'm trying to look for that line. Heichadami Isha Ra'a Amar Abaye Mekashtala Tako Mekashtala Puma. Rav Amar Mekashtala Tako Mahadrala Gava. So the way that this is formulated in the Rambam is that she's ra'a b'deo seha. Okay, you have that? You have that, Aaron? Yeah, go ahead. What's a perik?
Perik
Yud Chapez, correct. Go ahead.
Isha ra'a b'deo seha, v'she'ena snow kibnosi yisrael haksheros mitzvah l'garsha, v'she'nemar garesh lesbi al samadon.
Yeah, so that's his take on the Gemara in Yavamos. Also the Rif in Yavamos. So the question is, what does Deo Seha really mean in this context? So this is a big machlokas. The way that Rishonim quote this Gemara, and also the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, you know, in Simen Kuf Yud tests, some of them make the Deo Seha just kind of, you know, absorbed by the by the Einat Snua. Okay? And or they say that's what the words mean, you know, Rabba Deosa, I mean she acts, you know, improperly, and they start quoting, you know, Das Moshe, Das Yehudis, you know, integrating it kind of with our Gemara, etc. In the Rambam, it's very interesting. Does the Rambam mean, you know, in light of the Rambam's general orientation, you wonder, like, does this mean, like, you know, Deoseha, like Hilchos Deoseha, in the sense of, like, you know, religious and theological, like, you know, Ikari Amunah kind of Deoseha? That becomes a possibility? Or does it mean Deoseha, you know, like in a Hilchos Deos sense, in terms of like midos, you know, tovos, you know, etc. So if you look at Mefarshim, they mostly think that it's Hilchos Deos type things, but I'm not 100% sure. Either way, the idea that Isha Noa Hemena, that Noa has this idea of not just physical beauty, but as we discussed in you know, Noa in the sense of Gemar and Shabbos Chapei, Amud Beis, and you know, Noah Mekayim, Noah Doresh, all of these connected also with, you know, Deos Tovos, Deos Raos, that becomes, you know, a possible explanation of Rabbi Akiva as well. Okay, and then again, we already spoke about the Ibn Ezra. It's hard to know what the Ibn Ezra is in. Is that Rabbi Akiva, where he talks about incompatibility? Noah, in the sense, if that's what he's referring to. You know, he talks about lo matzachem be'enav, but if he means Rabbi Akiva, you know, again, so he's talking about, like, you know, not even objective, like, you know, her attitude, her conduct, her behavior, her religious beliefs, you know, all the different ways that you could explain Deos, etc. He's talking about more in terms of, you know, the complementarity, I mean, the degree to which these people are compatible, you know, with each other. Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify what was saying about the Yeshua's read of Rabbi Akiva.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that Rabbi Akiva agrees with Beis Hillel, but then also has complaints of this more permanent issue of.
He agrees with Beis Hillel, but that instead of saying like what Tosa says, and what some of the other poskim in Shulchan Aruch say, which is that Rabbi Akiva is even more makel than, you know, than Beis Hillel, what the Pnei Yeshua is saying is it's not so simple. In one respect, maybe it's more, you know, makel, in terms of, you know, whether we consider these admirable, let's say, or despicable grounds, but in another respect, namely, how formidable once they exist, like how formidable a problem are they, and do they then justify, once they do exist, you know, grounds for divorce? So the Pnei Yeshua is saying basically that Rabbi Akiva is actually more machmir, meaning he wouldn't say that, you know, he's not saying something fleeting, he's saying something, you know, more, you know, intractable.
So then Rabbi Akiva and the Yerushalmi, when he's in the last line, Rabbi Akiva Atia,
he's saying even though it doesn't actually pass, even though it doesn't qualify for Rabbi Akiva's, you know, Kiddush, you know, he would think that this, because that's, you know, it's pokeses kocheles, that's a temporary, that's a fleeting, you know, thing. So he said that, you know, he also holds like Beis, you have to assume that he also holds like Beis Hillel. I think what you're pointing out, which is correct, is that you could have said that Rabbi Akiva, you know, is either, you know, an extension of Beis Hillel, you know, or if it's not, because it's a more intractable problem, you know, then maybe he actually rejects Beis Hillel. I think you could have said that. But the Yeshua can't say that for the explanation of the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi says explicitly that Rabbi Akiva holds like Beis Hillel. But in the Bavli, you could say that. Once you say this idea to say, oh, you know, he requires actually something, you know, that is more substantial.
How can you both say that Rabbi Akiva is more machmir, but also that he's more Beis Hillel in the cases where...
I mean, his own... Because, again, I think the point is that, you know, this is kind of what I was... I'm adding a little... I like the Maram Shik's kind of formulation. And what I'm kind of saying really is that in some respects, Rabbi Akiva's, you know, more substantive grounds are also more mechudash, because they're attained, you know, even more a contrary way to kedusha. So there's both a chiddush, you know, but that chiddush then doesn't negate, you know, Beis Hillel, if you know what I'm saying, right? Okay. So yeah. So these are the different views of Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, Rabbi Akiva, and obviously, how does that fit in, you know, to other things? So just one other, you know, quick point about the Rambam before we go on to Maksa Grushaso. We've pretty much explained that, you know, in light of all this, going back to the Rashbash, you know, for the moment, you know, the Gimel, you know, Dinim and, you know, Dalid, Nashim. So, you know, taking a step back and thinking about, you know, Chiyuv or Mitzvah, let's assume Chiyuv Mitzvah are close to each other. Chiyuv Mitzvah, you know, Rishus, Isur. Certainly, you could take the, you know, the view, you know, in light of everything we've discussed, you know, that, you know, when we talk about there being a mitzvah, minyan taryag, you know, whether it's a mitzvah or an isur, you know, that it refers to all these issues. And certainly the language in the Gemara of ra'ah, you know, mitzvah, chiyuv, you know, rasha, you know, all these things certainly fit in. And for some rishonim, as we saw, with regard to the question of bracha, with regard to the relationship between kedushin and nisuin, and even some of the, like, you know, threshing out of, you know, the different, you know, hagdaros for Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and for Rabbi Akiva, you know, support this idea that there are real, you know, even doraisa, you know, iser legaresh and a mitzvah legaresh, right? We still have to come back to a little bit to the question of gerushin l'shem ava, which we still have to talk about. But however, as we noted, the Rambam doesn't, you know, buy into any of this. The Rambam only, in terms of the mitzvah d'oraisa, the mitzvah of minyan tayag, it's only the Kasavla, you know, Sefer Krisus. It's only the Derech Agerishin and not anything else. Even though the Rambam himself does weigh in on, you know, what is, you know, acceptable and what is, you know, prohibited in different places. But I think what's really, really interesting about the Rambam, if you take a step back, is the diffusion of his treatment of these issues. Meaning, the Rambam, just going back to what we said a while back, you know, the Rambam really could have dealt with these issues, you know, just in one place. And, you know, instead chooses, you know, to distribute, you know, his treatment, you know, throughout. And that is surely interesting. So I just want to take, like, a very quick survey of the Rambams just to, before we move on from this. And you know, you can see also just the way, you know, that he treats, you know, the Gemara is a little bit different. In our sugya, we have, you know, the Mishnah of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Then you have the sugya of the discussion of Grusha slave afterwards in the context of the Gemara, which we still need to explain a little better. And then in the Gemara in Yevamos, right, you have another discussion, and that is the discussion of, you know, Al Yisa Isha, you know, Al Manas Lagarsha. That's a Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Lamed Zayin. I think Lamed Zayin, you know, Omid Beis. It's interesting that the Rambam, you know, kind of in the order of things, kind of reorders it, and I think very understandably, because as we discussed, for the Rambam, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, you know, is not, you know, the core, you know, mitzvah you know, of Gerushin. So it's just another kind of prat in this balance between, you know, upholding the standards of Kedusha, you know, which in turn dictate, you know, what is, you know, preferable and what is, you know, unacceptable and what is kind of in between, neutral. And that's kind of what the Rambam, as we noted, the Rambam has the mitzvah of Gerushin, but he, you know, omits it from actually, you know, discussing it in the beginning of Hilchos Gerushin. He doesn't mention the word mitzvah in contrast to what he does, you know, in Ishus. When he discusses Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Akiva, or whatever, you know, it's in the middle of Perek Yud, you know, of Hilchos, you know, Gerushin. And when he does, he starts off, what is Yud Chaf Aleph, Aaron? I just read Chaf Beh, how does it go? Is it Yud Chaf Aleph, am I right?
Yeah.
So Yud Chaf Aleph reads how? That's the first halacha, you know, of this group, which is very interesting. Again, previously he was talking about Kol, you know, actually, Leisavim Isha V'Daita Lagarsha is the first halakha of the Rambam. That's really the Gemara in Yavamas Lamed Zayin. Interesting. That's Rav Sajagon, by the way. I think I mentioned this. Rav Sajagon is Perish Al Torah. That's his take on Lo Yia Kadesh and Lo Siya Kadesh. Is this Gemara? Lo Yisa Adam Ishto V'Daito Lagarsha. Okay. And the second one is our Gemara, but the Grusha slave part of the Gemara. And then comes the Mishnah.
Right,
and then it's a funny line afterwards, because he already said, kind of, Ein roi lemaher l'shaleach ishto rishona. So two things the Rambam did. Number one, he basically, what I'm trying to show is that, you know, you would have thought that the, you know, elot legerushin, the grounds for gerushin, especially if they determine the mitzvah and the Easter and so on, you know, A, that would be like right in the beginning of the gerushin, like the Bahag and the Shulchan Aruch, as I noted, began, you know, their treatments. Instead it's, you know, kind of here in Galus, you know, in the middle of you know, Perek Yud, you know, starting from Halacha Chaf Aleph, and even then, you know, he bypasses the discussion of the Mishnah and what seems to be a more fundamental question of grounds for divorce, you know, instead choosing to first emphasize the Gemara Yevamos Lo Yisada Misha V'Daita Lagarsha, and then Lo Tia Sheves Tachtav M'Sham Shaso the Daita Lagarsha. And then, of course, when he finally has, you know, his discussion of the grounds of divorce, the immediate emphasis is on distinguishing between Ishto Rishona and Shnia, which already, you know, means that it's, again, and that's very consistent, it's all about, the posture of Kedusha within, you know, within the marriage, you know, and, you know, how Gerushin, you know, fits into that, the propriety of it, you know, and so on. So it's Ishto Rishona, the difference between Ishto Rishona and Shnia, you know, is going to be, because the expectations are different, you know, the likely, you know, breaks, you know, on the process are going to be different and so on, which is what he says. Again, it sounds starts off with Erva Stavar, because it's, as we discussed, the Rashbash thinks he paskins like Beis Shammai, but that would be a very diluted Beis Shammai if it's Beis Shammai is only Zivug Rishon. You know, Rambam Pirush Mishnah says he paskins like Beis Hillel. Most of the Mefarshim think that the Rambam paskins like Beis Hillel. They think the opposite, that, you know, even Beis Hillel agrees that when it comes to Zivug Rishon, you know, that what's appropriate is, you know, Matzabah Erbas Davar. And it's interesting again that he repeats what seems to be superfluous. Ein roi lo lemaher l'shaleach ishto rishona. Avoshnia, im sneya, or msana, right, ishalchena. So already there's already the pushback. And then comes Isha Ra B'deo Seha, which again is his take on, right, the Gemara on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, you know, which again B'deo Seha, I'm not sure what B'deo Seha means. Does B'deo Seha mean, it says Vishaina Tsnua Kibnosi Sarlak Sheiros. So the fact that other Mefarshim understood Samach Gimel and even the words Deo Seha, some of the Mefarshim Shulchan Aruch, that that also means Tsnius, but doesn't sound that way in the Rambam. In the Rambam it sounds like there's something called She'ena Tsnua Kibnosi Sarlak Sheiros, and there's something else about B'deo Seha. But again, whether that means Deos, like Hilchos Deos, mean character issues, which of course also include, I guess, frumkeit issues, but or whether it actually means b'deo seha, like even in a, you know, more Rambam-esque sense of, like, she doesn't have proper, you know, beliefs or deos, I'm not sure. But the point I'm trying to make is that the Rambam, in the order of things and in the way that he has cast, you know, this Mishnah, you know, it's all about you know, the environment, you know, within the marriage, basically. V'she'ena tznua kibnos al sheiros, go ahead, this is mitzvah l'garsha, but this isn't the mitzvah, as we know, that gets counted in the mitzvos. This is the deos proper, you know, kind of approach, you know, within the marriage itself. And that's why he's quoting also the pasuk in Mishle, right? Go ahead. Right, so that could, you could have thought that that was a divrei agadata, you know, or of the Gemara here on Sadi Yomid Beis, but that's the whole point. All these dinim for the Rambam are dinim about, you know, what should be, like, you know, the appropriate, you know, posture, you know, when there's strife within the marriage. Right, how, you know, how is that to be handled, l'chatchila, and b'diavad. So these are the two halachos in the Rambam. But it's interesting that even though these are very much hilchos deos halachos, right, as are reflected, you know, in hilchos geirushin, because they aren't in hilchos deos. That's to be contrasted, just one more second, no mind, with the fact that the Rambam also discusses, you know, related issues, right, in Hilchos Deos. Right? So if you look, for example, at Perek Hey, Halacha Dalid, anybody have that quickly open? You have it, Yitzhak? Oh, did I not bring it? Oh, yeah, sorry. Perek Hey, Halacha Dalid, Hilchos Deos. Then the Ram talks about, go ahead.
Afabish Ishtar Shaladim Mutaris Lotamid, Roy Lotamacha Kham Shiin Aratsma Bikurisha. Below you, Shnam, Lo Shahorim, below Atslanim, below Atsmanim, below Achad Mehem, below Tia, below Sia Shena, below Yanososa, Vihi, and Rotsa Alabarasim Shem, with some Hassam, Yisap, Visachik, Ma'at, Imakish, Tisash, Nafsha, Beautiful Bavusha, below Azos, Beafrosh Miat.
So basically, this halakha, I'm just trying to make the point that, you know, when the Ram writes in Hilchos Geirushin, could have been put in Hilchos Deos, and when he writes in Hilchos Deos, in theory, could have been put either in Hilchos Ishus or Geirushin or Isurei Bia. So it's just, that's what I mean when I say that he, you know, he has like a diffused approach. It's almost like he's saying, you know, of course the Dinim and Hilchos Geirushin are Deos type halachos, but they're Deos halachos, you know, within Ishus. And it sounds like the Hilchos Deos, what he's saying is, of course, this is something that takes place in the context of Ishus. You know, but these are also just pure Hilchos Deos issues, and of course they are in some respect, because they reflect, you know, it really touches on a bigger question, you know, and that is the question of, you know, the dialectic between, kind of a material or physical pleasure, called hedonism, whatever you want to call it, and spirituality, right? So, what the Rambam is saying is, while this has to do with Kedushas Ishas for sure, and he has other places where he, discusses that, Ishas and Gerushin, but there are aspects of the relationship of Ish v'Isha, which are pure Hilchos Deos Halachos, in the sense that they touch on the very concept of, physical pleasure, versus, and respect, and the treatment, in the case of Ish v'Isha, of each one as a subject, not one being an object for the pleasure of the other, etc. So it's curious, it's, I think, very compelling, but interesting that the Rambam put these halakhas in Hilchos Deos. And then when you just continue this survey, just very quickly, and by the way, that's, I think, also why he emphasizes Talmud Chacham, because, all things being equal, again, and from a Hilchos Ishas point of view, that's not a category so much, obviously, but from a Hilchos Deos point, the expectation that, somebody who has greater sensitivity to, the required balance, of physical and spiritual, that somebody like that, would the expectations would be that he would conduct himself, in a different way, is very much true from Hilchos Deos point of view. Yeah. Then in Hilchos Ishus, Per Gimel, Halacha Yutes, anybody have that? Binny, you have that? The Ram talks about the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin. So it's interesting, right? Once again, that could have been a halacha, in Hilchos Gerushin. But I'm saying, don't marry someone. First of all, the idea of kiddushei ketana, katan and ketana, sorry. What works and what's appropriate. But also the idea of investing, in precluding or avoiding, shelo matzah, chein be'einav, shema yigarshena. But here the shema yigarshena is a shiur. You don't want to marry somebody, where the likelihood of gerushin is greater. Not just because you don't want that to happen, but because that's a shiur in kedushas ha'ishas, in the relationship. So it's interesting that even though it's a chashash gerushin, right, is an ishus halacha basically. And then, of course, you have a whole group of dinim in Hilchos Isurei Bia Perek Chaf Aleph, which also could have been either, frankly, in Hilchos Deos, Ishus, or Gerushin. What, so you have Chaf Aleph Yud Beis? Who has it? Noam, go ahead. So that, number one, overlaps Hilchos Deos, and it also overlaps Hilchos Gerushin, correct? So it sounds even practically repetitive, or it would have been very easy just to take care of those two points based on what we just read in Hilchos Deos, correct? And Hilchos Gerushin. But the Rambam doesn't do that. Okay, keep going. That's, of course, the halakha in the Hilchos Gerushin. So the Rambam's basically quoting the halakha in our sugya and the parallel in the Nedarim, which we'll try to get to in a minute, twice. right? One in Isurei Bia, Perikof Aleph, and the other in Hilchos Ishos. And part of what he's saying about, you know, the proper way or the proper approach, right, to the physical, you know, side of the intimate relationship, that is overlapping Isurei Bia and Deos, correct? Okay, keep. Is there more? Yeah. For the
talks about.
Yeah. So again, what to make of all that? That in general, there are chazals about that, but this idea that it affects the quality of the vlad, you know, is very, very fascinating. But what's the idea seems to be that, like, what the Rambam is, when he does this, when he overlaps the same, you know, halacha, either identical halacha parts of it, or that it would have been like once he's, you know, im kvar az kvar, like, you know, mibanashach, you know. If he's writing this there, just write another couple of lines. I think, you know, the conclusion is, you know, that the diffusion is the Rambam's way of saying very, very subtly, but very importantly, you know, that these dinim, you know, they have a Hilchos Deos component, you know, about who you are and how you behave, and especially how you balance, you know, the physical and the spiritual, you know, and how you relate to people as subjects or as objects. You know, they have a, you know, Hilchos Gerushin aspect, meaning don't use Gittin, you know, as a, you know, improperly. The institution of Gittin, especially my general reading is correct about the Parsha, the institution of Gerushin, you know, is not a way of playing fast and loose with Ishus, and it's certainly not, you know, a method of, you know, being Matir, you know, Isurei Bia, you know, in a technically legal way, you know, and therefore, you know, if somebody is, you know, Grusha Salev, you know, then, you know, continuing the relationship and so on and so forth, or everything that we discussed, that's an affront to Hilchos Gerushin. But in addition to the Deos and the Gerushin and the Kedushas Ishus component, there's something else, and that is Isurei Bia. Meaning, in some respects, what we're really saying is that, you know, when you do these things, you also kind of eliminate, you know, conceptually, you know, the framework of Ishus that's matir these things. These dvarim shebikdusha are easily corrupted, and when they are corrupted, it's not just a blow to the institutions, you know, Ishus, Gerushin, and it's not just like a general, you know, flaw in your religious persona, you know, in terms of your capacity, you know, to properly maintain the equilibrium, the homeostasis between, you know, physicality and spirituality, right? In addition to all that, in some respects, you know, even though technically this is within Ishus, you know, but you've neutralized, you know, what it is about Ishus, you know, that allows this, and there's some, you know, conceptual kind of Isurei Bia here. And that's why, again, whatever the metaphysical, you know, meaning of that is, that's beyond, you know, our ken at the moment. The idea that was kind of like a Vlad Pogum, you know, etc., you know, that, because it's Isurei Bia, basically. And remember, this is the Rambam, you know, who really believes, I'm not saying you couldn't say this, you know, absent this point, but it just makes it even more acute, you know, the Rambam who believes that Ishus is the only proper framework, you know, for any kind of, you know, physical relationship. In the Rambam's view of what constitutes Kadosh and Kadesha, and the language that he uses in right in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, and in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Shin Nun Hey, the one before, Matsukashaso, etc., and you know, you'd have to square it with language in Hilchos Nar Basula. But the Rambam's bigger idea is that anything outside of Ishus is Nuts. That's what he holds. Again, there's some machlokas in the Mefarshim to read the Rambam. But if you ask me, there are two ways to read the Rambam because there seem to be contradictory Rambams. I don't think they're really contradictory. But the two ways are anything outside of Ishus is Nuts, or, you know, L'shem Znus, outside of Ishus, is a violation. Okay. Without going into details, because I don't want to distract us from other things that we need to get on with, But it seems clear to me that the Rambam's real view is that by definition, outside of Ishus, that constitutes Znus. Again, Pilegesh of Amelech is a different story for obvious reasons. But and therefore what the Rambam is saying is the only reason that these things are Dvarim Shebekdusha is because of Ishus. And then when you trample, well, you kind of, you know, you turn the Ishus into, and the Gerushin, you know, into, you know, Haramos, you know, or whatever, you technolize them and you kind of ignore what they're really supposed to be about. So there's an Isur Ebiya aspect to this. And that's what he's describing in the Isur Ebiya. So that's Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Yudbeis. And that's also Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Noam Chaf Ches, where again, he repeats the din of the Kadesh Almanas Lagar. Go ahead. Well, that's very interesting too, of course. So anyway, this, of course, the Rambam said this halach already, right? In Hilchos Geirushin. So, well, you know, the answer is, again, because marrying with the, you know, with the intent to divorce is an abuse of Geirushin, right? But in addition to that, you know, it kind of negates, you know, the fullness, you know, of them, or the goal, what should have been the ideal of the matir of Ishus. You know, it turns that into, and therefore it's kind of Isur Ebiya. So the Rambam is basically overlapping these halachos, or repeating these halachos. It's his way of saying, you know, that there's more than one dimension to the problem, and they aren't completely independent from each other either, obviously. You know, the Hilchos Deos part, the Ishus part, the Geirushin part, the Isur Ebiya part, you know, are very difficult to filter out, but they're different mechaivin, and they are related, you know, to each other. So while the only actual mitzvah of Geirushin is Lagaresh, you know, Biksav, the Deos, you know, and the Kedushas Ishus, you know, and the Surabia, you know, parts of it still, you know, render, you know, mitzvah or Isur, you know, as the case may be, the high standards of, you know, the expected behavior of the parties within the marriage, meaning her, you know, in terms of my secure and Deos and so on, him, you know, in terms of not manipulating her or being cynical, you know, and exploiting the institutions, you know, in the opposite way that they were intended. Yeah.
It's interesting that this is kind of highlighted by the difference in the Rambam's language, in both, certainly between Deos and Isur Ebiya, but then in Geirushin also, where in Isur Ebiya he says that it's actually Aser, in Chafas, and also earlier in Lachid Beis he said that Aser Chafanim, that there's actually like a formal Isur there, whereas in Deos the language is always low, or in a Rai.
Oh, interesting, and it's a great Ha'ara.
In Geirushin, he actually chose, when he had to choose between whether he was going to talk about the Isur Derabana or the Hilchos Deos problem, he chose to say low and in a Rai again.
Like the Deos, which makes sense, based on what we're saying, because that's the Isur Ebiya thing is like, you know, on a certain level this is Isur Ebiya, even though it's not technically Isur Ebiya that you'll get Malkus for, but this is like a Maisa Vera. And in Geirushin and in Deos, it's not a Maisa Vera, but it is, you know, revealing, you know, a major flaw, you know, in the your attitude towards institutions or your general attitude. So I think it's a great Hara. Thank you. Very good. Yeah.
Is there a reason why one thing would be considered a mitzvah and another thing just called as Deos, if they're kind of highlighting?
Why one thing would be a?
Like a mitzvah versus the other thing being a Deos issue, if they're kind of highlighting the same core idea.
I'm not sure. What do you, in which, you talk about the Rambam, why he counted?
Yeah, like Matthew Rishas, we were saying, is about the Kedushas Ishus, and, you know, those types of ideas. Like, these are also about Kedushas Ishus.
Oh, you mean why you're saying, like, why are certain things, why do certain things rise to the level of a daraisa and they get counted in minyan mitzvahs, things like maaseh b'rishaso, and some of these other things, you know, it sounds like they are violations, you know, but they're not, you know, isurim, you know, not minyan mitzvahs. So it's hard to know that except to reconstruct it. I don't know whether I could have predicted that. Like, if you asked me, like, and I didn't know anything at all, like, what's worse, Grusha Salev, you know, or Lisa Isha Manas Lagarsha, or Machsu Grushaso Ivan Achar Nasu. Like, if I had a blank slate, and I was, like, asked, you know, to rank those in terms of what is more problematic, you know, it's very possible that I would have gone the other way. And that's, I think, what you're asking. So I think, you know, to be honest, I think what we are reconstructing backwards, you know, and it's the wisdom, you know, of the Torah, you know, as understood by the Mefarshim. Again, in one case, it's, you know, it's easy to say that Masu Grushas is a pasuk in the Torah. You know, Grusha Salev is psukim in Mishlei, and, you know, Mishlei is definitely a terrific source, you know, for Hilchos Deos or for the subversion, you know, of institutions in halacha, you know, the improper, as opposed to, you know, an actual maisa there, you're not going to get. So I think, you know, in terms of where they come from, you know, how they're formulated in the Gemara, but that's all in the reconstruction. Like, if somebody said to me, again, blank slate, you know, we're creating this system, what do you think is worse, Matsu Grushaso or Grusha Salev, it's very possible I would have thought them, ranked them equal, or thought that Grusha Salev or Mekadesh Shamanas Lagarish was even worse than Matsu Grushaso. I'll admit that. But, you know, what we see, you know, is from the Torah itself, you know, never mind, you know, the Minyan HaMitzvos and the Rambam, etc., is that it just isn't the case. Now, once that is true, to explain it, I think, you know, because this is something that's clearer, like, objectively, you know, and the others, like, believe, you know, a lot of it is very attitudinal, so you can give Musar, and you can even, you know, formulate it in very strong terms, which the Rambam does, and even the suggestion that it's, you know, has impact on the Vlad, and things of that sort. But at the end of the day, you know, for something to qualify as like a mitzvah or an iser or onesh, malchus, things like that, you know, the objective, you know, circumstances, you know, are likely necessary as well. But if you ask me, like, from a conceptual kedusha point of view, which is worse, or what would I have anticipated, I think you're right. Right. But I think those are the considerations, I'm guessing. But that's all reconstruction.
And when we originally learned the Gemara and Zivirushan and Zivirsheni, we said that chiluk makes a lot less sense if we're talking about objective Kedusha Sishos, because Kedusha Sishos is the same thing as Zivirushan and Zivirsheni. So the Rambam's in Ochlus Gerushin, where he's emphasizing all the halachos that have to do with Kedusha Sishos. How does the Rambam justify making the chiluk?
Because I think there, well, I don't think he's distinct. Again, if you're talking about Grusha Salev, he's not distinguishing when it comes to Grusha Salev, and he's not distinguishing when it comes to Lo Yisa Isha, you know, Almanas Lagarsha. You know, but where he is making the distinction is in grounds for divorce. And that, I think, is because there is more like a flexible scale. Namely, you know, sometimes there's like, you know, again, the emotional, the expectation structurally that there'll be, you know, greater investment and more of an emotional, you know, bond. Again, structurally, in the real world it can be different, but the structure is because mostly that's the way it is, you know, based on the makeup of human beings and so on. So I think the point is that, you know, that in terms of grounds for divorce, especially if at bottom of the whole thing really is, you know, that as unhappy, you know, and in some cases, you know, as improper, you know, as unhappy as a get is, and as improper as some cases the grounds are, there's still a recognition, you know, that sof, you know, like the Maram Shik was saying, and like the others are saying, and that is that, you know, if the reality is such and the alternative, you know, is, you know, for people to have to, you know, kind of be imprisoned with each other, you know, then that's not good for Kedushas Ishus, you know, and it also spills over into healthy relationships, you know, that people end to exact, et cetera, et cetera. So in that part of it, in that calculus, the difference between like the expectations of what you would, you know, try to invest. Like how, you know, how easily are we just, you know, going to accept these facts? Or is there some greater sense of, you know, blame? You know, that's not like tisk tisk. You know, it's sad that it is this way, but more like you know, this is unacceptable and intolerable. You know that you know with such ease it is this way. That's where the difference between, you know, zivug rishon, zivug sheni, you know, comes in. But well, if you're already in the ishus and you're talking about, you know, almanas legarsha or grusha salev, you know, stuff like that, you know, then I think that's about the cheftza shel, you know, shel ishus. That's never going to matter whether it's zivug rishon. That if im kvar, if you're in a marriage, then there's a certain level of respect. If we're figuring out, oh, what's toxic enough, you know, that it's not salvageable, or that it's better for policy-wise, you know, to move forward in a way, there I think calculating the expected level of investment and you know what, etc. You know what it takes to make it sour or toxic is different. Okay, good. Okay, so I still want to speak just for a couple of minutes, maybe, about, you know, what about this distinction of, you know, almanas lahodia, just for a second, and, you know, misham shaso. So in misham shaso, I'm going to stop here now, but this, you pick up on this on, you know, together, and then masi bushaso to finish off on, Yitz Hashem, on Tuesday. But the machlokas between the Ravid in Hasagas al-Arif and other Rishonim, you know, about you know Misham Shaso, number one, what that means and what the conditions are, and also the discussion both with regard to Grusha Salev and Almanas Lahodia or Misham Shaso Takta, that whole thing. About you know whether or not her knowledge of it and agreement you know makes a difference. I want to talk about that just a little bit. That's about you know to begin with. Does her you know awareness and agreement help? And if so, would you be mechalik between Amanas, you know Ligarsha and Grusha Salev in a regular marriage? Talk about those kind of things just very quickly. And a little bit more about the parameters what we're talking about deos, raos, what that means just in the Shulchan Aruch a little bit, so I'll talk about that, but mostly I want to talk about get back to, you know, in light of everything that we've discussed, we mostly have discussed it, but just to get back to the Ramban and the Rambam, and especially the question of Malkus in Sota and in, you know, how that connects with Matzu Grushaso and the Milchas Chinuch's, you know, discussion about Chatzi, Evan Chatzi Paschorin, Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Paschorin, and a little bit about Kidei Shuboal, you know, in Machzor Grushaso, just to highlight a little bit more what we've been discussing. And then again, to move on to Get Me'ava and the possibility of distinguishing between Iser Labal and Heter La'olam, the Chutz issue, and I stop maybe Tuesday, where I'll give you Marmakomos from the Pim Vlam Piksavam and Shtaros to start that, so we can start, you know, from the beginning. Okay, so tomorrow at 12 is a sheer lunch, and we'll also do some Ashkafa, and do you also have a small program, or just we can do the Ashkafa. That is the program. Whatever you want. I leave it up to the two of you. Okay.
So either way, 12.